This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. Well, hello there, and welcome to This Day in Sports History. It's a daily podcast that, as the name suggests, is a look at some of the important sports happenings from the past. It's April 14th, and as you enjoy the final round of the Masters today, let's go back and remember what happened on this day in years past at Augusta National, starting with what happened in 1968 and one of the all-time unfortunate sports blunders. It was the final round of the Masters. The day started off with 10 players within three shots of leader Gary Player. Argentinian Roberto DiVincenzo was one of those nipping at players' heels, and his day got off to a great start, holding out from the fairway for an eagle four at the first, and then he followed that up with a pair of birdies on the second and third. So, through three holes, DiVincenzo is 4-under for the day and 8-under for the tournament. He added another birdie at the 8th to shoot 32 on the front nine. He played Amen Corner 1-under, picked up another birdie at 15, and then a final one at 17. He did give a shot back at 18, though, to shoot a final round 65. Or, at least, that's what everybody thought. And more on that in a second. Bob Golby was also having a great day. He birdied 13, 14, and eagled 15, but when he bogeyed 17, he fell back into a tie with DiVincenzo, setting up what was to be an 18-hole playoff on Monday. But here's what happened next. DiVincenzo's playing partner on this day was Tommy Ahren. When golfers are paired for a round in a tournament, they keep each other's scores throughout the round. It's the official count. After the round, the golfers exchange cards, they go through each hole and attest and sign the card, confirming their score. Well, Ahren had marked DiVincenzo down for a par 4 instead of a birdie 3 at the 17th, but DiVincenzo did not catch the error, and he signed for it. Now, by rule, if a golfer signed an incorrect card with a score in his favor, a penalty was assessed. If a higher score was recorded, that score stood. So, instead of a final round 65, DiVincenzo was credited with a final round 66, one shot back of Golby, and no 18-hole playoff was required. After the error was found and announced, DiVincenzo, who did not speak English very well, said, "What a stupid I am." Well, as the saying goes, one man's blunder is another man's triumph. Golby was awarded the green jacket, his only major title of his career, and at 45, DiVincenzo, who was also celebrating his birthday on this day, never challenged at the Masters again. Interesting fact, Golby also made a scoring error on his playing partner's card that day, giving Raymond Floyd a par instead of his actual bogey on 16, but Golby corrected it in the scorer's tent before Floyd signed his card. Also on this day in 1996, Greg Norman's nightmare played out live at the Masters. He started the day off with a 6-shot lead, and he was expected to, just kind of walk to the title that day and finally grasp the Masters green jacket that had eluded him several times before. Norman had grabbed the lead on day one, tying the course record of 63 on Thursday. He followed that up with a 69 on Friday and 71 on Saturday, and nothing indicated that a collapse was imminent. Playing with Nick Faldo in the final group, Norman's day started a little rocky with a bogey at the first, but he got the shot back on the second. Bogeys at the fourth and again at the ninth, coupled with Faldo's birdies, meant the advantage was only two shots heading to the back nine. Norman's slide continued as he bogeyed the 10th and the 11th, and then double bogeyed the 12th. At that point, he trailed Faldo by two, who was not in as giving a mood that day. Faldo birdied the 13th, 15th, and then the 18th to win going away, erasing a six-stroke deficit to win by five over Norman. In his 22 appearances at the Masters, Norman finished second three times and third three more times, but he's never won it. In 1960, the Montreal Canadiens won their fifth straight Stanley Cup with a dominating 4-0 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was also a four-game sweep for the Canadiens, who had also swept through the semifinals. So, if you remember back on the March 17th edition of This Day in Sports History, this is the culmination of Maurice Richard's promise that he made to Canadiens fans back in 1955. Now, he didn't promise five, just one. But I can only imagine that each successive one that the Rocket and the Canadiens won, the more satisfied he was to have Clarence Campbell keep handing him the trophy. And if you need some context, go back and re-listen to that episode again. There was definitely no love lost between those two gentlemen. And in 1910, President William Howard Taft threw out the first pitch at the Washington Senators game, starting a tradition that lasted for six decades. However, Taft threw his first ball from the stands to pitcher Walter Johnson, figuring he'd need it, instead of to the catcher, as was typical. The tradition of the current president throwing out the first pitch at a Senators game lasted until 1972. In 73, the Senators became the Texas Rangers, but the tradition lasted a few more years with Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford traveling to other ballparks to throw out the first pitch. And today's non-sports, did you know? There is a Starbucks deep inside CIA headquarters. It's mostly the same as other Starbucks, except baristas are not allowed to write the names of their customers on the cups. And also, they can't tell anybody where they work. And celebrating birthdays today are Pete Rose, along with former Atlanta Braves David Justice and Greg Maddux. Also having a birthday today, me. And you know what would be the best birthday present ever? How about a 5-star review and a comment about how much you're digging this podcast? It wouldn't cost you a thing, but maybe a few seconds, and it really helps people find the show. But no matter how many reviews stack up, if any, I will be back here tomorrow for another edition of This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You gotta go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.